Holy Spirit fill me in this. We have a few passages that I wanted to just touch on briefly. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Then Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Romans 15, verse 29 says, "I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ." He's referring here to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, which you see on your bulletin is the key passage today, says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them.' But by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your will is perfect and good. Lord, we thank you that you have made provision for us who are thirsty to receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that living well of refreshing. Father, we ask that you would speak to us here this morning through your word, that you would reveal to us how we can know you in the person of the Holy Spirit more yet today. Lord, I ask that your anointing would be upon me, that your Holy Spirit would indeed touch me in power this morning, that I would speak through that anointing and the infilling and leading of the Holy Spirit and not of my own wisdom and might or strength, Lord, but only in yours. Father, I ask that anything that's not of you would be forgotten, but that your word would stick in the hearts and minds and be lived out in the lives of each person who hears it this day. Lord, meet with us now, guide us and direct us through your word. Help us to know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing to recognize and to understand here is that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person. He has a will. Okay? If a person has certain characteristics, and one of them is a will. And in 1 Corinthians, this speaks of, you know, the gifts of the Spirit that are distributed as He wills it. Okay? He doesn't give out the gifts based upon our criteria that we would come up with, but according to His will. So, he's not just an automaton who just does, a robot that does only what he's been pre-programmed to do, but he has his own will. Another thing that shows that the Holy Spirit is a person is that he has emotions. Have you ever been called, you're not really human or not really a person if you've not shown some emotion? Or have you called somebody that because they seem cold and objective to you and wouldn't respond? Anybody here? Uh-huh. We're going, oh, I'm so... They're not a real person. They're so emotionless. Well, the Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit has emotions. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 talks about us not grieving the Holy Spirit. That is something that we're cautioned not to do. The Holy Spirit also has desires. How many of us here have desire? There's things you want? Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're all people. Huh? Nice to know, isn't it? Well, so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has desires also. You know, in Acts 13, verse 2, that passage is talking about the calling of Barnabas and Saul. And that was based upon the will, the desires of the Holy Spirit. Because they sought. They did prayer and fasting, the church did. And then according to the Holy Spirit's will, the Holy Spirit's desires, they set aside Barnabas and Saul. Because that's who the Holy Spirit desired to be sent out on that first missionary journey. The Holy Spirit is indeed a person with a will, with emotions, with desires. He is as much a person as God the Father or God the Son. Okay, I got to learn how to get coordinated up here. Turn clicker and turn pages. And I've been spoiled. See, He is God. The Holy Spirit is the divine person. Okay, He's not just our God the Father and God the Son people. And the Holy Spirit also a person. But they are divine in that personhood. They are God, holy. He is God. He is the Spirit of God. He is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. It was before all of creation, the Holy Spirit was there. Father, Son, and Spirit were all there. And He is indeed God. He has been, He will always be. Just as Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, so too is the Father and the Spirit. He is God. The Holy Spirit is also the invisible person. We have the Father in heaven, and who is everywhere. We also have Jesus, who is the Son, who took on the form of man. But we have the Holy Spirit, who we're told we can't see. Now Jesus said, if you look at me, you've seen the Father. But we're told the Holy Spirit can't be seen, but His actions can. He's like the wind. You can't see Him, but you can see His effect. You can see what He's done. And when we look through Scripture, you can see time and again where the Holy Spirit has come in power on somebody. You see the effect of that throughout the Bible. You see the effect of Jesus. I'm sorry, the effect of the Holy Spirit working in power on all of humanity and the very individuals of humanity. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling person. Now, in John 14, verse 17, I didn't have that one listed there, but if we look there, it says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him, again, can't see Him, nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. He is the indwelling person. The Holy Spirit lives within us. When it talks of us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and the house of the Holy Spirit, it's God comes to live within us, abide within us. Not that somehow we're God. Okay, let's be clear on that. When we say the Holy Spirit lives within us, that doesn't make us God. That just makes us the place where God lives. But He indwells us. He is also the praying person. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us what to pray when we don't know what to pray. Go to Romans 8, 26. Chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We see that the Holy Spirit is that praying person. He's the one who intercedes for us. And in fact, in John chapter 15, verse 26, He's referred to in some translations as the Advocate, in other translations as the Counselor. In the NIV, it's the Counselor. But He's our Advocate, our Counselor. He's the one who prays for us, our Advocate. Speaks on our behalf. A conversation with God is called prayer. He speaks to God on our behalf. He speaks to God the Father and God the Son. He also speaks to Himself, who is God the Holy Spirit. Is God speaking to Himself? But He does so on our behalf. That makes Him our advocate. He's our counselor. He's the one who does that. Even gives us praise when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. The Holy Spirit is also the loving person. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The Holy Spirit comes to us through love and resides within us because of love. Now, Jesus came to die on the cross because of God's love for us so that we could be brought back to that right relationship with the Father, that the price of our sins could be paid, that we could be redeemed. But after that redemption, God just doesn't let us go and say, "Do what you will, or I'm done with you now." He says, "No, I'm going to come and live with you." And the object of that, and how He causes that to happen, is indeed the person of the Holy Spirit. And He is the fulfillment of that love. He is indeed the fulfillment of that love. And then the primary function of the Holy Spirit, and that sounds a little automatic, but the primary job the Holy Spirit has is to make Christ known to us. Amen. He, the Holy Spirit, will testify about me, that is Jesus. That's John 15, 26. The second half of the verse. And then John 16, verse 14 says, "And He," again speaking of the Holy Spirit, "will bring glory to me," Jesus, who's the one talking, "by taking from what is mine and making it known to you," us. He is indeed the one who is making it known to us. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. He'll bring glory for doing that. Okay, this is His job. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill every one of us. He wants to fill every Christian. Now, every Christian already has the Holy Spirit. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand the difference? You know, the simplest and best illustration I ever had anybody give me was, you know, a glove. I have a glove. If I don't put my hand in the glove and put my fingers in each part of the glove, I have a glove, but the glove really can't do anything. Well, we're the glove. And the Holy Spirit is the hand in the glove. And if the Holy Spirit goes into the glove, but is not welcomed into each aspect of that, In other words, it doesn't go into the fill of fingers, then that glove can't do a whole lot. There's a glove on the hand, but yet the hand isn't filling every aspect of that glove. But when it fills the glove, then that glove can do it all. Now, it's an illustration. It's not perfect theology, but use it as a starting point. But we all have the Holy Spirit, but we're not all filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul had the same issue when he was traveling. He found people who Apollos and others had led to Christ, who had led to become Christians. And he said, "Well, what about the Holy Spirit?" And he said, "We haven't even heard about this Holy Spirit thing. You know, what? There's more?" And Paul told them. And they received the Holy Spirit. See, when they believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit sealed them and they became Christ. But until they were filled with the Holy Spirit really couldn't work in them and through them to accomplish the works that He would have them to do. So the Holy Spirit wants to fill every Christian. Again, we see this in Ephesians 5:18. And this is supposed to be an ongoing process, this filling process. It's not something that happens at one time. I'm filled, topped off, now I'm done. Seal it within a mason jar and never to be emptied. No, we're more like sponges that continually leak, that we need to keep adding. And we add from the top and keeps, or even add from the bottom, however you add from the side, whatever. But it's going to leak out. We leak. We leak the Holy Spirit. And that's awesome. That's great, because as we go through the world, we're leaking the Holy Spirit on everybody all around us. And those who don't have it get some and get to get filled a little bit, and then they can go. But if we aren't continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, we run dry. So we need to be filled. That well of water that we spoke of in John 7 is indeed about that being filled. Now, it's wrong to seek just an experience. Okay? Would be 100% wrong for me to have married my wife, Donna, just because I wanted to have the experience of having physical relations with her. That'd be wrong. How many of you think that would be a wrong thing for me to do? That was my purpose and end all. It would be. However, because we are married, that's one of the blessings that come with marriage. Okay? And that's a good thing. So while it's wrong to seek the experience, it's not wrong to seek that encounter, that not just the encounter, but the relationship with God. Okay? It's meant to be an ongoing relationship. Not just a flyby. We're there. And God blesses those who hunger for fullness. Now in Matthew chapter 6, I want to read verses 1 through 6 there. There we go. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing up in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." God wants us to be blessed. And if we hunger for that fullness, He will bless us. Now, God wants us to know for certain that we have received the gift of eternal life. So God wants us to know that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not something I do myself. It is something Christ does in me. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. And, oh, we're not going to turn there. But in that passage, what it talks about is that this is something that the Holy Spirit is doing, not the people. But in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, and I will turn there, read that. Galatians 3, verses 2 and 3 says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Okay, we can't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I can't somehow go and find a pool of the Holy Spirit and fill myself up with it. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? God fills me. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills me when I open myself up to Him. When I say, yes, Lord, fill me. I wish to be filled. And I remove the stuff that's in the way. That's when the Holy Spirit can fill us. See, if I've got stuff in that glove, in those fingers of that glove, that are filling it up, other than, then the Holy Spirit can't fill those things. So I need to remove that stuff and let Him do it. Okay. I'm going to give you five action steps to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what this is a four-part prayer and a one-part rebuke of the enemy. I'm going to run through it, and then I'm going to come back, and those of you who are interested in doing this may do so. But I don't want people to do something without knowing what it is that they're going to do ahead of time. I don't want you to feel like I've done a bait and switch on you. I want you to understand what it is I'm asking for here, what I'm suggesting. But these are the action steps that you can go through to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? First, we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, as I said, we don't do it. Holy Spirit does it for us, but we have to submit ourselves to God to do so. And the prayer that we would pray is, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to You. Take control of my life. You are my Savior and Lord. Step two would be to confess and renounce all of our sins. If you've sinned against someone, God may want you to go and make restitution. Tell Him that you're willing to do that. So we would pray this. The prayer that we have here is, Lord, I confess my sin. And then we're specific. We pray. We confess it. Actually, speak it out with our mouth. Okay? I receive Your full forgiveness. There is sin in my life. I have not confessed. If there is sin in my life I have not confessed, that is, make that known to me also. I want to be a clean vessel. If I have sinned against someone to whom You want me to publicly or privately admit my sin and then make restitution, I am willing to do that. Make it clear to me. I will obey You. Then we move into the third step. And this one isn't a prayer. This is speaking to the devil. So this is one that I would ask you then to open your eyes, because, and again, we need to speak aloud because the devil can't hear our thoughts. And we're speaking to him. We're not speaking to God. This isn't a prayer. This is, now we're turning and we're speaking to the devil, to Satan. And we're saying, Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command any spirit of bitterness to be gone from me. I break any satanic bondage over me and command any evil stronghold in my life to get to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare my allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's the declaration that we're making to the enemy. Okay, now we return to prayer. Now, by faith, receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we would pray, Heavenly Father, I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saturate me, every area of my life, every cell of my being with your Holy Spirit. Take control of my body, take control of my mind, will, and emotions. Take back all the ground I have given over to Satan. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that I can live a holy life and serve you full of the blessing of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the fifth step is to rejoice that God has kept His promise and has filled you with the Holy Spirit. See, God's Word is true, and we can trust it. And He said that He will do this and that He wants to do it. So we commit yourselves to give God, and you will obey Him and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the prayer is this. It says, thank you, Father, for keeping your promise to me and filling me with your Holy Spirit. You are my God. Every day I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can obey you. I want to learn to hear your voice and to follow you. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the prayer. If this is something which you would like to do, I would ask you to stand and to repeat this prayer after me, as I will read it. Eat one phrase at a time, and I would ask you to repeat it aloud. If this is something that you don't wish to do, please do not feel that you need to do this. But this is, I want to give you opportunity. If this is something you wish to do, please stand with me. Again, if this is something you wish to do, speak it aloud. If you don't, you don't need to say a word. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Take control of my life. You are my Savior and Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. Please hear, be specific and confess out your sins. Lord Father, I confess the sin of pride and of bitterness and holding these things in. Speak them aloud, people. You are confessing to God. Father, I confess the sins that I have made in my life. And Lord, I lay them before you. I confess that I have held on to things longer than I should have here, even as pastor. And Lord, I lay them before you. Father, we thank you that you hear and you forgive. Next, may repeat after me. I receive your full forgiveness. If there is sin in my life, I have not confessed. Make that known to me also. I want to be a clean vessel. If I have sinned against someone to whom you want me, to publicly or privately, go to and admit my sin and to make restitution. I am willing to do that. Make it clear to me. I will obey you. Okay? Now open your eyes if you've had them closed. You are now speaking to the enemy, to Satan. So please remember, we're speaking to him directly, not in our own strength, but through the power and through the anointing, covering and righteousness of Christ. Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command any spirit of bitterness to be gone from me. I break any satanic bondage over me and command any evil stronghold in my life to go to the feet of Jesus, to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare my allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And now we go back to praying. We are now returning to our prayer to our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, I receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saturate me every area of my life, every cell of my body, with your Holy Spirit. Take control of my body. Take control of my mind. Take control of my will and emotions. Take back all ground I have given over to Satan. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that I can live a holy life and serve you full of the blessing of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Fifth step, last step, that of rejoicing. Thank you, Father, for keeping your promise to me and filling me with your Holy Spirit. You are my God. Every day, I ask you to fill me again with your Holy Spirit so that I can obey you. I want to learn to hear your voice and to follow only you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I do want to let you know that much of what you had here today did come from the College of Prayer Materials. And I thank you all. Let's pray. One more prayer. Father, we thank you that you have led us through this day, that you have filled us now with your Holy Spirit. Each one who has asked to be filled, Lord, you've said that you will do so and that you have done so. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And now, Lord, may we walk in the truth of your word, knowing that what you've said you will do and have done is completed. But Lord, might we remember that it is an ongoing process. That it's something we need to do daily and sometimes even every hour to seek to be filled with you, Lord. So help us to do that, to seek after you continually. Lord, might we, your servants, love and follow you alone as our Lord, our Savior, our King, our God. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.